And so as I mentioned earlier today, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about what, and generally speaking, what husbands need from their wives. And I wanted to make it really clear that next week my wife is going to be talking about what wives need from their husbands. Because some women have already tuned me out, said, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. And that's why you need to hear it. Believe me, we're gonna next week we will balance this out. But let me also begin by acknowledging that this may be difficult for you to hear today. If your marriage is in a bad place, this may be difficult for you to hear today, and I acknowledge that. And before the service is over, I want to pray for every marriage today, because whether you're in a good season or a bad season, it's hard work. And we want to be praying for all of our marriages. And especially when you're in a bad place, it makes it that much more difficult sometimes to just even want to look at your spouse, let alone talk about trying to meet their needs. But I'm praying that God would give us the grace today, that we would be open to what God wants to say to us and through us. If you're in that bad place, let me offer you this little bit of help before we get into these needs. If you have a marital problem, I want you to know that the root of your problem is not communication. The root of your problem isn't money management. The root of your problem isn't the arguments that you're having. The root of your problem is spiritual. If you're having marriage problems, the root of it is spiritual. Now, you may have to work out some money management issues and some communication issues and all of those other things, but at the root of it, it's a spiritual problem. And the reason I know it's a spiritual problem is because marriage and in our society and our world today is trying to take it out of the equation, but marriage is a spiritual thing, established by God. And any good and successful and marriage that really matters includes a husband, a wife, and God. And the moment that you try to alter that equation, you lose. And it goes terribly wrong, because that's not how God intended it, how God intended for marriage to be. Marriage is the relationship between one man, one woman, centered around God. Say amen. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, the first thing God did was he established the relationship between him and Adam. You remember that? And God created everything, and then he created man. And I believe the reason that he created man and man was alone for a while was because it was the priority, or the first priority relationship that Adam needed to have was to have a relationship with God. Are you hearing me? That was paramount. That relationship had to be established before he got distracted by anything or anyone else. And so God established that and said, hey, it's just going to be you and me, Adam. And after God established that relationship between himself and Adam, the reason he did that was because there are four basic needs that every single human has. And in order for those needs to be met, it must come from a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God is the most profound relationship that you will ever have. And it will have the most profound impact on every and any other relationship you will ever have. And so that's why it's so important that that relationship be established, that that relationship be in place. But there are four basic needs that every human has. I'm not just talking about men's needs now. I'm going to get to them. But four basic needs that every human has that only God can meet. Are you hearing me? Yeah. These are four needs that only God can meet. If you're looking for another person or another thing to meet these needs, you have just set that up for failure. And that's why it's so important that we establish first our relationship with God, and that those needs that only God can met be met, and then we're ready to enter into a relationship with somebody else. Here are those four basic needs. Are you ready? Write these down. The first one is acceptance. How many of you know everybody wants to be accepted? And they want to be accepted for who they are. And the great thing about God is God accepts us for exactly who we are. Here's something you got to understand, and you should write this down somewhere. God loves me, period. God loves you, period. He loves you. And if you try to get acceptance from other places without first having that, it'll drive you to do all kinds of crazy things to gain acceptance from other people, places, or things. But when you are already centered and know that I am accepted by God, that God loves me, period. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on what I do or what I don't do. God simply accepts me and loves me for who I am. The great thing is, he loves you too much to leave you that way, but he loves you just the way you are. I tell this story from time to time. My daughter was born with a number of issues. She had a heart defect, and she couldn't eat by mouth until she was over 1 year old. And she had a G-tube during the first year or so of her life, and we had to feed her through the G-tube, and then all of her other developmental things were delayed, and she had to have open heart surgery at 10 days old, so she had this big scar and still does have a scar that runs down her chest and a scar on her side from where the G-tube is. But when I look at her, that's not what I see. When I look at her, I see my little cookie. I see my daughter. And I love her with or without the scars. It has no bearing on anything. My daughter is about 2'2". I'm exaggerating. Not a lot, but I'm exaggerating. She's short in stature. But she's huge in my heart. And what I'm saying is, that's just my frail, jacked up, halfway acceptance. God accepts her even more. And God accepts you even more with your scars and your bruises and your frailties and your shortcomings and your mess ups. He loves you. Would you say, I'm loved? The second need that all of us have is identity. Right? Everyone wants to know they are special and valued and unique. They want to know who they are. And our identity only comes from our Creator. You can only get your identity from God. So many people try to find their identity in their job or their financial status or their appearance or what they drive or where they live or what other people say about them or their success or all of these things. But listen, it's short-lived. And your identity will be changing every other day, because sometimes you have it in. Sometimes you don't. And so we have to establish that our identity comes from God and who we are in Christ Jesus. And that, because he never changed, that never changes. So basic needs that we have is acceptance, identity, that we can only get fulfilled from God. And then the other one is security. Security. Everyone wants to feel safe from harm. And everyone wants to know that their needs will be met. They want to feel secure. And only a relationship with Christ can protect us, because Jesus Christ is, he protects us even from death. Now, if I'm protected from death, what else can you do to me? I'm secure. My security is in him. I'm secure because my needs, I know that he will meet my needs. Jesus said it himself, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that he will add everything else that you need in your life. And then I have eternal security. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, there is nothing you can do to snatch me out of his hands. I'm eternally secure. My inheritance is in a place where it can't rust or moth or bugs or anything else get to it. It is in the presence of God, and I'm eternally secure. And so many times we're looking for security. We think that the security is in our job. And I want you to know, jobs come. Thank God for the job. But he better be where you put your security. We put our security in all kinds of things. We put our security sometimes in earthly relationships. And earthly relationships sometimes end. They always end. Eventually they're going to end. Right? Because we're all going to check out of here at some point. And sometimes they end because of a death. Sometimes they end because the relationship just fell apart. And that's why we have to, if we want the real type of security, it has to be in God through his son, Jesus Christ. The security of knowing that he protects us from harm. The security of knowing that he provides my needs. The security of knowing that I have eternal security through Christ Jesus. That I've been born again and I will live eternally in his presence. And then the fourth need that everybody has is purpose. All of us have to answer and want to answer the question, why am I here? And what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And only God can tell you your purpose. And I want you to know that you were created for God's pleasure and for God's glory. And it is in him that we discover and live out the purpose that he has for us. And so here's the thing that I want to kind of end this section and as we transition and move on. And that is, if you're living outside of a personal relationship with God, you're missing out on the purpose for why you're here. You don't know who you are. You're going through the motions, but you're going nowhere fast. You may be progressing on the corporate ladder, but that one day is going to end. And so if you want real fulfillment, if you want to discover the real meaning of life, it begins and ends in a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. If you want to have a successful marriage, it's got to be rooted in Christ. And I know there are so many great books out there, and I read them, and they're helpful because they help, especially the ones that remind me that Jesus Christ is where I've got to begin and end. But sometimes we go off thinking that we can find this newfangled idea or this newfangled concept that's going to help us to make our marriages better or good, and they exclude Christ. And if it excludes Christ, I want you to know that it's going to be short-lived. It may make you feel good for a moment, but it is not going to last. The root of all marital problems are spiritual. So if you're not saved, I want to invite you to get saved today. If you're outside of a relationship with God, I want to invite you to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. What I'm saying is that if you have a relationship with Christ, you have the foundation to fix and build a strong, healthy marriage relationship. I'm not saying that because you're saved, you won't have communication issues. I'm not saying that because you have saved, you won't have money management issues. What I'm saying is that if you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, there's something to build on. My wife's not in the room, right? We had a wonderful night last night and everything, and then this morning I told my wife, I said, Mamacita, I need you ready at 9 a.m. because we are getting out of here. But I was running behind. And so my wife was downstairs and she was sitting on the sofa, and I came downstairs and said, all right, let's go, I'm ready to go. She says, I'll go when you're in the car. What are you talking about, woman? I call her woman. And She's not in the room, right? So what are you talking about? She says, I've been down here ready, waiting, so now I'm going to wait until you're really ready to go, and then I'll get in the car. And she was having a communication moment, you know, and you know, I prayed for her. And please don't tell her I said this. It's just between us. And what I'm saying is, as Holy Ghost filled as we are, there are times where signals get crossed. There are times where we upset one another or disappoint one another. But when we build it on the foundation of Christ, we understand forgiveness, we understand love, we understand grace, we understand mercy, we understand patience, and we're able to work through those things because of the foundation of Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, after Adam had a relationship with God and his spiritual needs were met, then God showed Adam he had other needs that needed to be met by a woman, by his wife. Don't miss that. The spiritual needs, there were these basic needs that every human has that only God can meet. Only God can fill our hearts and fill these spaces in our lives. And we have to get that from God, from a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. And then after that, it puts us in the position, it puts us in the place now where we can move on and have other healthy relationships on the foundation of these things have been filled in me through Christ. And then we move on. And he showed him that he had needs that needed to be met by a woman. Just before I share these needs, there's just a couple more things I want to share with you. Let me mention a few common reasons why we don't meet our spouse's needs. Can I share these? A couple of reasons why we don't meet our spouse's needs. It's paramount that we do, and I'll talk more about it as we go on, but I want to just put this out here up front. One of the reasons that we don't meet our spouse's needs is we don't know what their needs are. Do you know what your spouse's greatest need is right now? This isn't a trick question because it's different all around the room. The question is, are you in touch with what it is right now? And sometimes we operate off of old information. And Lord knows that women change. I'm sorry. I'm going to get myself. And what was a need last year may not be the need right now. And so sometimes one of the reasons that we don't meet our spouses, and we men, we change too. We're a lot slower than you women, but we change too. And the question is, do you know what they need? And sometimes the reason that we're not meeting is simply because we just don't know what they are. Another reason that sometimes that we don't meet, or a common reason we don't meet our spouse's need is because when a need is communicated, we dismiss it. Right? We dismiss it. What happens is because it isn't a big deal for you, you don't think it's important for them. Well, you don't really need that. No, I do. And I'm talking about both husbands and wives. Sometimes we just dismiss the other's needs because it's not a big need for us. Another common reason we don't meet our spouse's needs is because we try to meet our spouse's needs based on what we need. In other words, we're speaking our language to them instead of understanding their language and speaking in their language. It's like someone saying they need food. And then they tell their spouse they need food, and then their spouse says, no, what you really need is a new pair of shoes. What you really need is some conversation. Let's sit down and talk. Let me fill you up with words. No, I need steak. But because that's what you may need at the time, because that's what you want, and basically you're responding out of your needs instead of responding to the other person's needs. Does that make sense? And then the fourth reason, and then I'll jump into these four needs, these four common or basic needs that husbands have and want to be met by their spouses. The fourth reason sometimes we don't meet our spouse's needs is because we're selfish. All the selfish people, raise your hands. If someone next to you doesn't have their hand raised, on the way down, just gently. Or not so gently, no. Right? We're selfish. And we become very self-centered. And the only thing that we want is what we want. And I'm raising both my hands because I know I can very well be selfish. And think that the world just revolves around, don't look at me like that. Sometimes that gets in the way. Well, anytime we're selfish, it gets in the way. And all of us, and listen, the first part of getting delivered from it is admitting you got it. And all of us have some, say amen, church. Just, even if you don't believe it, just say amen. Let's run through these four needs your husband has that he needs his wife to meet. The first is respect and honor. Respect and honor. In Ephesians chapter number 5, are you there? Ephesians chapter number 5, starting at verse number 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me just stop right there because this is so important and sometimes we miss this. Because what a lot of times husbands focus on is that their wife ought to submit to them and they miss verse number 21. What is verse? Can we read it together? Let's read. Submit to. Submit to who? One another. This is an important point because men and women are equal. Well, I just threw a revelation out there. You missed it. But if you pay attention to our society, our society has a way of degrading women, objectifying them. And we have to be so very careful because sometimes we've even, in the body of Christ, used the word of God to put women down. And when God created male and female, he created them even. He created them different, but they're equal. Equal in value, equal in worth, equal in importance. One is not more important than the other, but they are different. They're different. And it's important to understand that they play different roles, they do different things, their makeup is different, all of those things, but they've been created equal. So Paul makes a point here to say that submit to one another, how? Out of reverence for Christ. Look at verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Look at verse number 33 at the bottom there. It says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he what? And the wife must respect her husband. And here's the thing. And now as I talk about these four needs, I'm not saying that women don't have these needs as well. I'm just saying that in men, these needs seem to be more at the top of their list, okay? And the first one is respect and honor. Women, wives, the way that Paul says that you ought to respect and honor your husband is the way that you would respond to Christ. Wow. With the way you talk to your husband, is that the way you talk to Christ? The way that you respond to your husband, is that the way that you would respond to Christ? And that's what Paul's talking about. It's important to understand that men gravitate to places where they feel respected and honored, and tend to avoid places where they feel disrespected and dishonored. One of the biggest things, you know, a bunch of guys are together. You want to see a fight happen? Yo, what y'all fighting about? Yo, he disrespected me. You don't hear a lot of women standing around saying, you know, we was guffing because I felt, no. I mean, not that you're not offended by it, but when it comes to men, don't diss me. Don't disrespect me. It's one of our higher mega needs that we have. As his wife, you can say anything to him and should be able to say anything to your husband. But it isn't what you say, it's just... Right? It's not what you say. It's just a question of how you say it. So let me give you these points. How do I honor my husband? Here's the first one. Allow him the space to fail. Allow him the space to make mistakes. Now again, I'm not talking about destructive behavior. I'm not talking about allowing the space for addictions or abuse or those types of things. I'm not talking about that. If that's what's happening, then you ought to get help. And I mean that sincerely and seriously. You ought to get help. You ought to go to the right people in the right places and get the proper help that you need. Whether it be counseling, whatever, you get the resources. Let me know. I will help you. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that there will be times that he will make mistakes and he will fail at certain things, and he needs room to be able to do that. Right? This is a small one. When a man is driving his car, let him go the way he wants to go. How many arguments have there been in car rides? It's just not my car. Like, does it matter if I go this way? We're going to get there, mamacita. Does it matter if I go this way? Let me go this way, woman. Please, let me go this way. Now, we're going to get in the huff over how to get to Walmart. Are you serious right now? Listen. So what? It took him 5 hours to put it together because he didn't read the directions. It should have taken 20 minutes. Okay? Give him the space. Give him the space. Why? Here's another thing. Honor him where you want him to be and not based on where he is now. Did you hear that? Honor him to the place where you want him to be and not based on where he is now. Men rise up in an environment of honor and respect. You'd be surprised what a man would do when he feels honored and respected. There are young men right now, and women, but there are young men right now that are laying their lives on the line, literally life and death, to protect the freedoms of our country in the name of honor. You'd be surprised how it would affect your husband when you begin to honor him, not based on where he is, but based on the type of husband you believe he can be, the type of husband you're praying that he is. If If you want your husband to be a great father, a great husband, a great provider, a great servant, sensitive to all of your needs, then begin to honor him as if he is already. You'll begin to breathe new life into him, and he'll want to be all those things for you and more. It's an important need that he has. Another way that you can honor him is cover his faults and focus on his strengths. Again, I'm not saying cover destructive behaviors or destructive abuse. I'm not saying addiction. I'm not talking about those things. Those things we need to get help for. But what I'm saying is we all have faults and shortcomings. And what I'm saying is learn to cover them and focus on his strengths. Wives, can you list your husband's five greatest strengths or five greatest attributes? Now, we're quick to list faults. Those I don't have to think. Because the reality is we spend more time focusing in on their shortcomings and faults than we do their strengths and the great attributes that they bring. And all of us have a bit of both. We've got some shortcomings and some faults, and we've got some great things about us as well. And what I'm saying is learn to cover those, not ignoring them or saying that they're not there, and learn to focus more on their strengths and their abilities, and it'll bless them. Let me just add this. Stop talking bad about your husband to other people. If you have issues that you need to talk about with regard to you, find the right place and the right person. Stop talking bad about them. It dishonors and disrespects them. Start talking about their positive, their great attributes, the good things about them. Things that are positive, the things that are good and great. Focus on your spouse's strength and stop focusing on their faults and weaknesses. The second one, and I'm going to speed it up here. The second one is the second need that a husband has is sexual fulfillment. I may need some music here. It's important to understand, number one, that this is a need. Generally speaking, this is high on the list for most men. And the way that you meet this need is, the first thing, you've got to accept his need and commit to meeting that need. You have to accept that it is a need and then commit to meeting that need. I talked about this earlier. One of the reasons why our needs aren't met, both sides, is because we dismiss them and say that it's not a need. But for men, generally speaking, it is a much, generally speaking, it's a much higher need than for women. Generally speaking, I don't want you to be mad at me later. Say, no, not mine. All right, not in your house. I'm just generally speaking. And here's the thing. Here's, and I want you to get this, and I want you to hear this. It's nothing new, but I just want you to hear this. You're the only person on earth that can fulfill that need. Think about that. If you don't fulfill it, he's walking around with this need. Doesn't give him the right to go any place else to get it fulfilled. But Scripture is clear that we make them vulnerable when our wives don't fulfill that need. And so you have to acknowledge that it is a need, and then you have to commit yourself to meeting that need. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says this, Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent. I love that it says perhaps. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, an agreed upon time, maybe so that you can devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again. Why? So that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. When I married my wife, we agreed through the covenant of marriage that we are the only two people now that will fulfill that need in one another. I don't have to go to pornography. I don't have to go to the woman on the job or the woman down the street. Why? Because my spouse has made a commitment. They acknowledge that it's an important need for me. And secondly, they're committed to meeting that need. Let me just throw this out here. And this is something that I think has really helped my marriage and made a tremendous difference in our relationship. And I'll throw this out there, women, for your consideration. You don't have to feel sexy to meet your husband's sexual needs. If the only time it was met was the time that you felt sexy, we may die. The men know what I'm talking about. Now I'm just trying to be practical here, because we don't always, I know I feel it more than my wife. I don't know what's wrong with her. But that's just the reality in our relationship. And if I waited for her to always feel it or be in the mood for it and all of these things, I would die. You'd have to resuscitate me every week. Right? But there's a difference when they're committed to it. And here's the thing. There are some times that my wife or your spouse may not be in the mood or whatever the case may be. And I'm so much more sensitive to that because I know her commitment to meeting my need. Did you catch that? I don't think you did. Right? It actually makes me more sensitive to know that she says, I'm here for you. I know that's an important need for you, and I'm committed to meeting that need. But could you please let me sleep right now? And I can be more sensitive to that, right? Because I know that her heart's commitment is, I'm here for you. And not just when I feel like it. Sometimes I just got to get into it for your sake. Thank you, Glennis. All right, I'm going to move on. The third is this, and I'm going to jump on the express train. The third is this. What we need from our wives is we need fun and friendship from them. We need our wives to be our friends, too. We need our wives to be someone that wants to have fun with us. I don't need my wife to be my mother. Right? And sometimes, what I'm saying is don't lose your identity. Be a great mom. I need you to be a great mom. I admire the fact that you're a great mom. But I don't need you to be my mom. I need you to be my wife. And a part of that, one of the needs I have is I need to have fun with you. I want you to be my friend. I want to know that we can have some good time. I want to know that from time to time, you're willing to step into my world, which is foreign to you. Because I can't name five things my wife and I both like. And we enjoy doing together. I can't name five. There's a few. At least in my mind. There's a few. But for the most part, the things that I have fun with, that's just not. I bought a motorcycle, right? Because, man, I want to get out on the open road and break the speed limit. No, I want to get out on the open road and just have some fun and ride on some cool. My wife is not interested at all. She, I don't know if she's even seen the bite. I've had to be there. She's not interested, right? But there are times where she steps out of her world and into my world because she knows I need to have, I need you to be my, we got to have some fun. Here's a little tidbit for your wives. Men open their hearts to their friends. And sometimes you don't know what's going on in your husband's heart simply because you're his wife, but you're not his friend. And it's sometimes it's when we're having fun that now I'm open to you in a new and different way. And I can begin sharing things to you because my guard is down. Because you've entered into my world. And now I can begin sharing some of the deep things that are going on inside of me that I wouldn't otherwise share. That's why a lot of guys, I mean, people at the bar know more about what's going on in some of these guys' lives than their wives do at home. Now, I'm not saying go to the bar with you. Let me just fix that right quick. I was like, see, I told you we need to go. Throw back a few and then we can talk. No. What I'm saying is, remember when you were dating? Do you remember when you were dating? And you would go with your husband to places that you had never been to, you had no interest in before? But just because it was about stepping into his world and having fun and being friends as well. And you need that. He needs that. He needs that. He wants you to be his best friend. So many ways so that then he can share even the deep places in his heart. And then lastly, I'm closing. He needs domestic support. He needs his wife to provide for him and to give him and meet the need of domestic support. And let me just make this clear here. Your wife is not your maid. Let me stand up. I felt like a woman was going to hit me with a Bible right there. Oh, let me put the word on you, Pastor. Psh. She's not your maid. She's not your personal chef. I'm not saying that. We ought to, as men, we ought to roll up our sleeves and participate in what's going on in our homes. Listen, I do laundry. I wash dishes. I don't cook. I got a mean order. I will order in a minute. You don't feel like cooking, baby? I got you. I will order in a minute. But we ought to participate in what's going on in our home. I will run that vacuum. I will mop a floor. I will do all of those things. But what I need from my wife is I need her to take my house and make it a home. Okay? I need my wife to make this a place that I come to and enjoy coming to. It's a place of rest. Listen, I can't go out from the house and be boxing all day and fighting all these things. And then go, you know, in the boxing ring, you're fighting in the ring, and then you go to your corner, and the trainer's there, and you know what he does? He pours water over your head and rubs your shoulders, gives you a seat to sit on, gives you a comfortable place where you can be refreshed. Because in a minute, ding, there's some blows coming. Now, if I'm out in the ring and I'm fighting and I go to my corner and ain't no seat to sit on, nobody pouring water. As a matter of fact, when you get into the corner, guess what you're going to get? I done told you. It's
MMA in the corner.
I can't get no rest. I can't get no peace. There's not a clean dish in the house. No pots ever moving. Now, again, I'm not saying that we can't wash dishes and move pots and do all those things. But what I'm saying is every man needs that from his wife. That she's committed to making his house a home. A place of respite, a place of refreshing, a place of retreat, a place of renewal. A place where it's peaceful, that I can hear the presence of God and seek God. That I'm in warfare all day, but when I come home, I can be refreshed. And these are needs that husbands have. And if you're going to meet those needs, then you've got to admit that they are needs, acknowledge that they are needs, and then be committed to meeting those needs. It's not a want list. It's not a wish list. They're needs. Just like you have needs. And next week, my wife is going to tell us we better get committed to them. And whether you feel like it or don't feel like it, you better get to it. You can't imagine if we only did what we felt like doing. We've got to get committed to them. All right, I'm closing. Joel, give me that music that says, get on out of here, Pastor Leo. Listen, I'm closing. It begins with your relationship with Christ. It begins with your relationship with Christ. It begins and ends there. And then men have these needs. They need the honor and the respect of their wife. I'm going to give it to him when he earns it. Is that when he should give you love? Is that when he should provide for you? No. Absolutely not. He needs it. He needs sexual fulfillment from his wife. He needs fun and friendship from his wife. He needs domestic support from his wife. Church, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask every husband and every wife to come to this altar. Come together if you can. Come. Come as close as you can. Come as close as you can. Come. Come as close as you can. Come as close as you can. Come.